Talking to me today through the magic of Skype is Aaron Parsons. Thanks for joining me today, Aaron.
Thanks very much for having me, Sean.
Now, Aaron, I've been seeing your name pop up all over the internet in relation to a project you're working on, a very interesting project. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Okay, well, it's called the Sonus Interactive. It's a handheld audio-only gaming console. It's essentially, it's got 9 buttons on it. It has a headphone jack. You plug a game in and away you go. It's all audio-based, handheld, completely portable, battery-powered at the moment.
Now you say at the moment because actually the hardware isn't finalised as yet. You're still in the prototype stage?
It is, yeah. At the moment, it's a little black box a few yard or so to the right of me.
Well, designing and creating hardware, I mean, it's far from easy. So what's your background? How did you get into it?
I did do software design as my formal education. I got so far with that, and then I kind of decided that I were always good at making games, I loved making them, but I were terrible with graphics. I could not draw, could not make anything like that. So I thought, right, how do I solve this problem? Audio games. But at the same time, I were very big on Iron Man. I loved the Iron Man. You know, seeing Tony Stark doing all the wiring and stuff, and thought, right, I can do computer stuff. Maybe I want to start doing some hardware stuff as well. So I'd never put two wires together before I made the Sonus. And I thought, I just need a project, something to dedicate myself to or aim towards in order so I can just learn. And to be honest with you, I got sort of into it and I thought, actually, this is a good idea. Speaking to people, it seems like it's in demand. So I really pushed forward with it. It took so long to develop because, like I said, I'd never put two wires together before. But eventually, we ended up getting there, and it's functioning at the minute.
Wow, so it all started almost like from a hobby, well, an educational project. So when was the eureka moment? When did you realise, hang on, I might have something here?
Well, when it started working, to my surprise. When we actually started receiving some audio coming through it and responding to the button presses and thinking, actually, I could make this a real thing, make it improve on it and really put some focus into it. And that's what I did.
Excellent. You know what? That's quite inspiring.
Well, thank you very much.
It'd make a good film.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
So as you said, you've been working on the project for a long time. I'm guessing you've gone through a few different designs.
Oh, yeah, we've been through a few. I mean, right now it's looking a little bit more sleek, a little bit slimmer. Before, it was a big black box with about 6 buttons on it. It actually started off as more of a interactive audio book where you press one button, it goes to this track. But it did have some gameplay mechanics and you could have variables, which is like the player health or things like that. But was from speaking to the community, it didn't sound appealing enough. It sounded a good idea, but people really wanted that next generation thing, more real-time play. And so I scrapped the entire idea, to be honest with you, and started again from the bottom and worked up to this thing that I have now, which is, I'm very happy to say, very real-time and very interactive and everything really that a normal video game would have.
Yeah, so initially it sounds like it was almost like those Choose Your Own Adventure books from the 80s.
Yeah, that's it.
So now the hardware and software has evolved to enable much more advanced real-time gameplay?
Well, yeah, I mean, what went through my head is if you actually do break down a video game and think about what makes it actually entertaining, you have reaction times and you have character development or some systems like that, you know, decision making. Basically, if you can take all of those components out and strip the graphics away and you can still make a playable game. So that's what I did.
Now, I probably should have asked this right at the beginning, but are you visually impaired yourself?
I am not, no. I don't actually know what really brought me up to the idea of audio games. I was just looking for a project that I could commit myself to in order to learn about circuitry. And so what I ended up doing was thinking I like making games, but I was always terrible at graphics. So I thought, you know.
So your lack of artistic talent is a great boon for the visually impaired. Thank you.
That's it, you see. And so I thought audio games, and I wanted to do circuits. I wanted to make things work. I want aspire one day to make my own Iron Man suit, you know. So
as long as it's accessible. Hey, you got to start somewhere, right?
Today, audio console, tomorrow, Iron Man.
Well, let's delve a little deeper into the actual software and how the games are made. Because that's also a really nice feature. You've got the GDE, or the Games Development Environment.
The GDE is just a software package. And what this software package does is it allows any hobbyist, any user to create a game, but without any programming knowledge. These games can then be exported and created into something that the Sonos can understand and turn into a game. So you export it using the GDE, plug it into the Sonos, and away you go. It's a game. The reason the GDE exists is because really it's quite a small market. So what I want is to open it up creatively. I want to get everyone involved and just see what people make. Rather than just, you know, people like myself or a few partners making games for it, I want to see what the whole community could come up with and open it up to them.
Yep, I think that's really exciting. I think it's a good idea. I mean, if you look at the mainstream games market with games like Little Big Planet or even Doom and Quake back in the day,
yeah,
the ability to let users create their own content or levels and mods was what really made people stick with it.
Yeah. I think creativity is the step forward, and it's really great to have a project that you can commit yourself to as well. And audio games is really rewarding. It's a brilliant projects to create. So if I can get people making audio games who want to and make it easy for them, then yay.
Yay. Yeah, I'm all for it too. Especially if you don't need to know any coding. So how does that work?
So essentially, the way the Sonos works is it separates everything within the game into something called game objects, which... they all have events, which is like collision events, creation, when it's created, button press events. And you just have a list of actions that you assign to those events, such as if you want it to play a sound or if you want it to alter a variable, you know, someone's health or the amount of money you've got, you know. It's just assigning actions into object events, and that's how a game's created. It's very simple. It's very brief how I've put it like that, but that's the nuts and bolts of it, yeah.
So is the GDE going to be on Windows and Mac?
Truth is, I'll probably, because I have Windows-based PCs myself, I will probably make it PC-based to begin with and then focus on, you know, that'll be my foundation that I can then expand on, yeah.
And of course, it'll be accessible.
Yes, yes. Well, I have got a couple of people who would be happy for me to send it to them and
I bet you have.
Give me some feedback on the accessibility of it. So, yeah, that's the plan with that. I will be making it accessible.
So it does seem like we're very early in the life cycle of the project then. So whereabouts are we now?
We have a GDE that's capable for us to use, but it's very buggy and horrible. So we're happy to, you know, tear our hair out with it, but I won't wish it on the public yet. As for the console, it's all working. I've just integrated battery power to it. It will run on 4 AA batteries. Regarding where it actually is development wise, I actually went to a manufacturer not long ago. I showed them the product. I expressed my concerns. We went through some ideas together. And they essentially sent me away saying they didn't want to take my money because they think I could actually create the design myself, which was actually great of them. I've got a lot of respect for them. And they say, come back to us when you have actually got a finished product and we will manufacture it in volume for you. So I'm just at that stage at the moment. I've just got a couple more tweaks to work out in order to actually make it something that I would be happy for people to actually buy off of the shelf.
Ah, which leads us to the big question of price. I suppose you don't really know cost until you get to the manufacturing stage.
Yeah, I mean, it will be difficult. Price in mind, I don't know. The thing is, I don't want to say a price that's low either in case it becomes more than what we realise. It's just too early, I'm afraid, yeah. Until we know what we're dealing with overheads, I can't say.
Well, I suppose the other big question people are going to ask is, why are you making your own hardware? Why is it better to do that rather than to use the mobile technologies we've already got, such as smartphones?
Well, obviously, smartphone applications require a great deal of programming. So the fact that the GDE exists for the Sonos hopefully means a greater catalogue of games, and we'll see a lot more work coming out for it. Also, the fact that the Sonos also actually does use physical buttons, if anyone has that preference, rather than, I know some audio games make use of gyroscopes and things like that, but I personally, I've always been a fan of just sitting there with actual buttons that you can feel and things that you can press.
Retro.
Yeah, very retro, very retro. Just gives you more options, I feel, because you've got 5 buttons that you can make use of that have different effects of the game.
Yeah, so you're very much seeing that the big draw of the hardware is the ability and the ease in which users can create their own games.
Well, I'm hoping so, yeah. I mean, if it isn't that well embraced, we are obviously planning on making some games ourselves, so we're also going to really commit ourselves to making some high-quality games. So it's not going to be... The pressure's not on the community, but for anyone who does want to create a project and have something that they can work on, I'm just glad to have an outlet for them.
Have you got any games in mind, or have you got any games in development at the minute?
So we've been talking online, and a lot of people seem to be fans of RPGs, you know, role-playing games, if anyone's played the old Final Fantasy-style stuff. If anyone has played them, I mean, it's very turn-based. You select a target, then attacks, then the enemy makes their move. I want to make something a bit more quick-paced, a bit more interactive than that, you know, maybe extra buttons for when you do attack, you got to press the attack again at a certain time to land a better hit. In the meantime, we're also making a party game, which there is a slight demo on YouTube regarding its intro and its menus and some of the characters that are playable. So that light-hearted party game is going to be the release with the Sonus at the moment, where it's going to have a lot of mini games that show off the different, you know, the different ways that the Sonus can be used. It's a way of squeezing a lot of games into one, I suppose. So we thought that'd be a good idea, a party game to begin with, something a bit lighthearted, while in the background we can work on a serious RPG. We're working really hard to try and make some games that are really appealing, so Sonus, hopefully, the market of the catalogue of games, hopefully, will make it appealing as well.
Well, thanks a lot, Aaron. If anyone wants any more details, how can they get hold of you?
We do have a website, www.sonusinteractive.co.uk. I also have an email address, aaronp@sonusinteractive.co.uk.
And that's Sonus spelled S-O-N-U-S.
Yeah. We also have a page on there called How to Get One, which is just a no commitment. If you want to drop us some details, a phone number, an email address, we can get back in touch with you directly if you want, when it's available. There is that option.
Excellent. Well, we'll be waiting for our review copy here at Tech Talk.
I will let you know, Sean. Don't worry. You'll be first on my list.
I'll hold you to that.
No problem.
Aaron Parsons, thank you.
Thanks very much, Sean.